Session number 8226.
Mr. Arthur Bonney, Reel 3. Could you tell me where you moved from the beach, Mr. Bonney?
Yes, we went up the gullies. There are very deep gullies there, right up with big boulders. You climbed all over them. We kept to these gullies until we got to where the regiment was, or the battalion.
And how were you? Do you have any initial impact, or what did you think of the sort of ground and terrain at Gallipoli? Was it like you expected, for instance?
No, well, never thought about what it was ever going to be like. But there was nobody about. You just all on your own, marching up there, and then you come to a dugout place in the side where they had the cookers, and because they had these big cookers units, and then you were introduced to a company there.
How did they receive you, the regiment, the battalion? Sorry.
Well, they just received you, you know, line up and. Give you a little talk about what it was like and what you've got to do. Go up into the front line and dig trenches and stand to on the overnight time.
And how did you react to what they were telling you?
Well, as far as I remember. We thought there was nothing in it at first, and then of course once they started, as soon as you started to move, so the shells started to come over, and that's when we realised what way we'll be up to.
Can you describe what sort of ground and you were in, or do you know exactly, or if you can remember the name of the place you were? I know you were in Suvla Bay, but
yes,
do you know what?
No, I can't remember. No, can't remember the name of the place. We weren't far from the beach, because I mean we walked to the beach of a night for water. So,
were you on the right hand side or the left hand side? If you look at it, you remember at all?
Well, I thought we were right straight up. I don't know, yes. We used to walk straight up this gully. Yes.
Well, could you see the salt lake or anything like that from where you were? You know, it's a dried up salt lake.
I don't remember. Just, you know, the battleships were all out at sea. That's all you could see, really.
What sort of, were the trees or shrubs or...?
Well, yes, there was plenty of shrubs and little trees and... but they were more on the top where you could walk at night. Because, I mean, it used to get dark. We'd go down these, over night time for water, you'd be among the trees and shrubs.
I'll come back to the water thing, but could you see where the Turkish trenches were from your frontline trenches at all?
Yes, they were dead in front of us.
About how far away?
Oh,
approximately
a couple of hundred yards, I should think.
And did either you or they have barbed wire out?
Yes, we had barbed wire, and they had barbed wire. Because we used to go out of a night there, and just where we were, and empty our latrine tins. You had to go as near as you could to their line and tip them out.
That's interesting. Could you describe the British trench system at all? Where you were, just where you were, how deep the front line was?
Well, they weren't all that deep, as far as I can remember. And they were nothing like the trenches out in France. You know, they were well built.
What do they look like? Can you describe them at all?
They look like holes dug and a step there to stand on the fire in.
About how deep?
Well, I'd just say, I should say 6 foot deep.
And then a step?
And I should say with a step. And then there was a few sandbags on the top of the, where you looked over.
When you first got there, was the line continuous? Or was it more outposts with sort of scratches in between?
I think there were more scratches in between because we didn't see a lot of left or rights.
Well, did you later on join this? Were you involved in joining the trenches up? Digging?
We're up, digging trenches all the time, every night. And digging yourself in.
How about communication lines? Did you have those back when once you got sorted out?
They used to... you used to get passed down the lines, messages, which never got the right message when it got to you. Like somebody had passed down 15 rounds rapid. So you just fire out in the front at nothing, at 15 rounds.
That was the sort of communications.
That was the communication, yes.
Did you see, accommodation when you in the front line?
Yeah.
Did you have dugouts or anything like that, or did you just sleep on the floor of the trench?
You slept on the floor of the trench. You just dug into the side as much as you could and get a bit of cover under there. But then, of course, you were up on the standby most of the time.
I'll come to that. So these holes, is this where you keep? Did you have any personal possessions? Would you keep them in these holes in the side?
Oh, well, you had your personal possessions on you all the time, in your haversack.
So you carry your kit around with you everywhere?
Yes.
And would this hole, would that be your hole and you slept there every night? Or would it just be?
No. You slept there and then you came back to the... support lines after so long in the front and so long in the support line.
Now, get on to sort of some things you've touched on already. If we look at the sort of transport and communications, you said that you got orders by just being passed along the line man to man. Does that mean you didn't see much of your officers and sergeants? Were they in the? I presume they were in the front line with you.
They were in the front line with you. They used to walk up and have a chat with you. Yes.
How about communications back to? Was it easy to communicate with base, or was it just at night? Or the beach, not base.
No. We didn't have much. We didn't have to communicate much back to front. The officers and NCOs did that.
You don't know much about
no,
that,
not.
How about rations? Look at water separately, but how about your food? Can you remember what you had to eat?
So I don't remember having anything bar bully beef and biscuits.
How this was brought up to you nightly, was it?
Well, we had that in these support lines. Sometimes you ground the biscuits up and made a stew with your bully beef, or because it was so hot and flies, and there's so many flies, and your bully beef all got soft and.
So, Did you do the cooking yourself, or was it cooked in the cookhouses and the support lines?
If you wanted to, you had the cookhouses there who used to make bully stew and biscuits. But then if you wanted to change from your bully and biscuits, you could just, if you had anything to make a little fire, you cooked a bit of your own. But that was out in the support lines, of course.
What about in the front line?
Oh, well, you ate your bully biscuits and your bully beef and biscuits on their own there.
Cold, or you try and get it cold?
Oh, no, yes.
This sounds a rather repetitive diet. Did it affect you? Did you get fed up of it? Or?
Oh, yes, you got fed up with biscuits and... Because, I mean, they were very hard biscuits, as you might know.
What about water? You say water came from the beach. You had.
That's
can
right.
you describe one of these parties that went back to the beach? What would happen?
Well, you all picked up a biscuit tin. I don't know how many gallons they'd hold, about 7 or 10 gallon, I suppose.
So a large tin it was?
A large biscuit tin. Well, you had that on your shoulder. Of course, you only had half the water left by the time you got back. It was spilled all over you. But you went down, you got it off of one of these barges that, I don't know, they distilled the water or something from the sea.
Did you get enough water?
Well,
as an individual, did you have enough?
Well, not really. I think we was, I can remember, I think we was issued out with a pint a day, and then we used to get some tea off of these cook wagons, you know. But I think we had a pint a day.
That was to do everything?
Yes.
So, that doesn't sound... It was August... Was it? What was the? It was hot, presumably.
Yeah, oh, it was very hot. Yes.
So, did you suffer from thirst at all?
Oh yes, it was good. I mean, when you went on these water things, you had a good drink.
Did you fill your own water bottles as well?
Yeah, I forget that. Well, I think we filled our water bottles.
So, what did the water taste funny in any way?
No, it tastes very nice. You know. No, I never thought about any taste.
Did you still have to
be nice and cold?
Did you shave and wash in it, did shaving and washing go by the board?
No. What I used to do, I had a wet flannel, and I used to shave with a wet flannel.
And wash with the same... This was all in the same pint, was it?
Oh, yes, yeah.
So everybody was expected to keep themselves cleanly shaven.
If you went down on the water parade, you'd soak your... And, you know, you could soak your things with water.
Did you manage to get plenty of other equipment and ammunition? Did that come up easily enough?
Oh, yes, we seem to have plenty of ammunition coming up.
It would come up at night, would it, again?
Yes. Yes.
Through the communication trenches, or would they just dart up?
No, that would come up through these gullies, you know.
And I'd like to look at the health factors, because one of the most... The most awful things, in a way, was the way the troops' health deteriorated, taking them one by one. Were the sanitary arrangements? What were the sanitary arrangements for the latrines? You've mentioned one thing. Could you just describe what the sanitary arrangements were?
Well, they were just a square dug in the trench.
In the front line, or?
In the front line. And then there were these... buckets and a pole. You sat on the pole and you filled the bucket, which was always filled with dysentery. Well, at night time, you had to take your turn who emptied them, and go over the top and empty them as near to the trenches, their trenches as you could.
Did you ever do that?
Yes.
Can you remember anything about?
Well, I can remember. I can remember my first time being very particular, trying to get it on top of the trench first, and when I bent it down, of course I got smothered.
All over your face?
All over my face. And the next thing, I'm smothered in flies. And I think that's really one why I was sent back. I got bit with these flies in the eyes and almost blind. And yellow jaundice.
Could well have come from this. So was there a smell problem in the front line from the latrines?
Oh, yes, you could smell these. Although they had disinfectant poured into these buckets.
Would each individual soldier
yes.
pour that in?
Oh, no, no.
But it would be done regularly.
That's right. But because often the snipers used to pick these latrines out of a, you know, and they're very often somebody gets shot on the latrine.
Did they move the latrines regularly?
Oh, yes. Well, we had different places for them. Yes.
Were there enough of them when the troops began to suffer from dysentery, or was there were the problems caused by there not being enough?
Sometimes you sat on them for a long time, you know.
Could you get more than one person in them at a time?
Yes, you get two or three in these holes.
The next thing is how did you get rid of other waste? You know, old tin cans, just the sort of rubbish that builds up from
they'd be what, bully tins.
And everything else that was.
I forget what happened to them.
Yeah, that's okay. Was there much of a problem with lice and de-louse? And did the troops, did you get lousy?
Well, when we were back onto the supports, that's all you did, de-lousing and got your shirt off and your trousers off and burning all in the seams with the lice. And, I mean, it was the same with officers and sergeants, so they'd all be doing the same.
So it was a big problem.
Oh, lice. Terrific. Yes.
How long did it take before they started to get, you know, before you started to find lice from when you arrived?
Well, it seemed as though you got them the first day you were there. Oh, yes, you were full of lice.
They bit, did
they? Yes.
The other thing you've already mentioned, and one thing that's is the flies. Could you tell me something about how many they were, what sort they were, and how they affected you?
Well, they were just like our house flies, thousands of them.
How were they a menace?
In your eyes, and although you wore a bit of curtain stuff over your face. But still they get underneath it, and of course you sweat underneath.
Did you have a problem eating with them landing on the food?
Yes, they were always on your food and drinking and gritting around your lips and all the time.
Were there any dead bodies out between the trenches?
No, you didn't notice dead bodies, not out there.
So you didn't have much of a problem, so you weren't aware that the flies were breeding on bodies and the latrines and then coming on you?
No.
Were you aware that the flies were causing the dysentery, or helping cause the dysentery?
Oh, yes. Yes.
So, generally, it seems as if that the health... What about the climate? Did that affect you, the heat? Did anyone get heat stroke and things like that?
Well, as I say, it was very uncomfortable, the heat. I mean, you sweat and everything's wet on you. And I don't remember feeling queer, only with this dysentery.
Well, the whole effect of all this was that was what? How did it affect you yourself? Can you tell me how you felt and the symptoms of what you got? And I mean, not...
well. Well, very often you used to have to run out in the open and not trouble about latrines. You couldn't help it, you know. You had to strop your trousers on the ground anywhere. And of course you felt... well, you felt terrible about when in yourself.
Did you lose weight? And
oh, yes. You got very... lost a lot of weight.
What about the rest of your battalion? Were you alone in this, or was everybody?
Oh, everybody was. I should think everybody had dysentery out there. Nobody missed it, I shouldn't think.
Were people going sick all the time then?
Well, yes, but you couldn't get away from until you all went back to. You know, for a rest on Lemnos or Imbros. And that's where they'd send you away then, from there.
So, did you think that this dysentery had ruined your battalion as a fighting unit? Were the men still capable of taking an active role in fighting, or were they fairly well finished?
Well, I think they were fairly well finished myself.
Before we go on to you actually being evacuated with your battalion, I'd like to look at the daily routine, if you can remember a typical day in the trenches, and what you would have to do, you know, from when you woke up and perhaps stood to the evening stand down, or stand to at evening. Can you describe what would happen in a typical day?
Mm. Oh, well, you... you had to keep a lookout on the in the trenches, and I think you had 2 hours up on there, and then 2 hours down.
Just all day.
Your head down.
Was this
all for the day? And we'd get a drop of tea brought up in the Dixies, you know. And I think that's the sort of thing that went on till the night time.
It sounds fairly dull.
It is dull, but dull, yes.
Did you suffer from boredom, or were you too ill to be bored?
Oh, I don't know. No, but I don't think we suffered from boredom much, no.
What did you do to keep yourself amused?
Well, as I say, it was this dysnailsing affair that took you all your time. I forget what we used to do now, but when we were back in the support lines. Well, just talk, I think it was.
Talking to each other. Yeah. How did you get on with the officers in the front lines? Did you get on well with the officers still?
Oh, yes, they were all right. Yeah.
Did you feel that they were sharing the same things you were facing?
Yes, I think they were same as we were.
Now, how about military discipline in the front line? Did you have any problems with military discipline? The offences like falling asleep on duty and things like that. Not you personally, but
no.
There was no problem with that sort of thing?
No, I never heard of any. I know it went on, some of them would fall asleep, but I mean, you were there to wake him, you could wake him up if he saw him going off.
Did you have any special duties? At this time, you know, were you a runner or an officer's orderly or anything like that?
Not out there, no.
Just like to go through the the sort of routine operations that you and the Turks are engaged in against each other. The shelling, what scale was the shelling on? Was there a lot of it?
Well, yes. I think the shelling was mostly from the boats into the Turkish lines, because they used to fire these, 15-inch guns into the Turkish line.
And you could see this?
Well, you could feel them going over you, because they're quite close to you when before they reach there. Oh, yes.
What about the Turks shelling of you? Is it mainly shrapnel or high explosive or what?
Well, yes, they used to, but they never used to fire a lot into the front line. They mostly fired at the boats.
I see, yes. So it was, there wasn't much, you didn't face much artillery once you'd actually got away from the shore?
Not much, no.
How about sniping? Could you tell me something about that?
Oh, well, there was plenty of that going on. They used to snipe you off going up for the water. Somebody would be hiding in the trees. Because I remember one night that they put a machine gun on one tree and a load of rags fell down. It was only a young boy, about 15.
A young Turk?
Yes, up in the tree.
Was this behind?
Behind the lines.
Our lines?
Yes.
How had he got through, do you know?
I don't know. Yeah. Well, I believe there were some farms there occupied, you know.
And you saw this?
Oh, I saw this boy. Yes, this one.
And this, were there a lot of casualties? Did you see people being shot? Or were close to you? Or was it just sort of known that this was going on?
Well, no. Didn't see many being shot there. Saw one or two get hit, you know, with shrapnel up in the supports. But, no, not a lot, there.
Did you or any of your friends do any sniping at all? Sniping
No, just firing, you know, rapid fire and that business.
So what would happen? Could you describe?
You wouldn't know. They just passed the line down so many rounds. Somebody's seen a Turks or something and you've asked you to fire.
But you wouldn't know what you were aiming at?
No, not really. We didn't out there.
So you didn't actually aim at all?
Just fired.
Did you actually look over the parapet and fire?
Oh, yes.
What about bombing? You sound as if you were too far away from the Turkish line to do any bombing.
We never done any of the bombing. We had bombers for that, a bombing squad.
Did they do much?
Not a lot. They used to go out of the night and do a bit.
Were you under any enfilading fire from the side?
No.
You were. You didn't.
Only from the shell fire from. I forgot where that was from now.